Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
To catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome back for another week of Pulse of the Nation in this sweltering summer heat. We are hurtling towards the Edinburgh Fringe. We'll be reporting live up at the Fringe. FUBAR Radio will be taking Pulse of the Nation up to the Scottish capital, so we'll see you up there. But for now, we are in London. It's still boiling. We are still enjoying our air conditioning, although I am very conscious that I've learnt this week, and I'm sorry to tell you this, what a heartbreaking fact to learn, that air conditioning contributes 10% of all of our energy emissions. So it is sort of a bit of a balancing act. Like, oh God, it's very, very warm. Let me turn up the air conditioning. Oh God, next year it's even warmer. Let me turn up the air. So that's not great to learn. But in the moment, for now, there is no future. And let us just enjoy our air-conditioned Islington studio. With me today is my wonderful friend James Trickey. We'll be talking to him in just a moment. But for now, let's have a quick look at the headlines, of course. Well, the heat wave is the main thing. There's hosepipe bans all over the country. And I do think in this kind of heat, this is the closest we can come to relating to the people of Pompeii after the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. And specifically, the moment I'm talking about here is the moment when you open a car door from a long parked car, a car that has been exposed to the sun. That heat wave that hits you when you open that fucking greenhouse, honestly, in years to come, there'll be sort of like preserved statues of humankind, and they'll just be in this one position, and we'll be like, the museum curator will be going around going, oh yes, and this person was doing their gardening during the apocalypse, and this person was doing this, and this is a man trying to re-enter his Kia Sportage during the 2025 heatwave. That's sort of what we're heading towards. It's so bloody warm, it's terrible. Has this been a wake-up call for climate crisis? I don't think so. With that being said, and that sort of existential dread in the back of our heads, let's head to some of the lighter news, starting with, of course, Greg Wallace. Greg Wallace has been in and out of the headlines in the last few weeks. And indeed, months ever since this scandal first broke, his claims against him, his 45 claims of misconduct, have been upheld recently. But in his defence, I think it was his friend who said it, in his defence, was that Greg can't wear underwear because he's autistic. He has autism, so he can't wear underwear. Of course, you know, other notable signs of autism, doing Nazi salutes at political rallies. You know, it really is heartbreaking that people suffer like this. It's such an interesting thing as well, because, first of all, I love these sort of, like, identity-based defences. It reminded me of, like, when Kevin Spacey, all the stuff was coming out of Kevin Spacey, and he was just like, I'm gay. I'm like, oh, okay, that doesn't really take away from what you did. Also, it was such a weird defense from me, Kevin Spacey, when he was like, used his coming out as a defense, because he was accused of inappropriately touching boys, and he was like, well, what you need to know about that is that I'm sexually attracted to them. Like, oh, okay. I don't think that was the gotcha you think it was. But that sort of I'm gay defense has moved on a little bit, and now it's the I'm autistic, I can't wear underwear. Which is crazy, because he definitely could have fabricated a defense using his neurodivergence by saying that he can't read the social cues and he was masking and misread the banter. That was such an easy, you know, if you're going to use your autism as a defense for your sexual misconduct, surely that's the route you'd go down. I mean, if anything, this confirms for me that he is autistic, because no holistic thinking would come to, oh, I can't wear underwear as a defense. So, yes, a very, very interesting one from Greg Wallace there. I'm sure my dear friend Joe Wells, regular contributor to the show, was shaking his head as he found out that another sort of autistic role model wasn't ideal. What else have we got here in the headlines? I've been reading the Metro on the way in. Very good news. So I have a little bit of good news before we get into the weeds of the sadness. Women to receive new breast cancer targeted approach, which is a fantastic news. That the NHS is putting more into women's healthcare and tackling women's cancer, because, you know, it's been talked about for a long time, the gender pain gap. There is sort of a disparity in treatment towards women in the medical settings. There's less research about women. So that's really good that it's happening. And this is particularly personal to me. I think about this a lot because my mother has cancer at the moment. And when she first had cancer, she knew something was wrong before she could ever get diagnosis. She kept going to the doctor. She wouldn't get tests. And at one point she went in and she said, look, I know something's wrong because the dog keeps sniffing my affected area. And then that was what triggered the doctor to do something. He found out the dog was sniffing my mother and goes, oh, Oh, sorry, I didn't realise a labradoodle had an opinion. Let me get right on this. We must run the tests, of course. That's the state of medicine for women in this country, is a dog. A six-year-old labradoodle will be more respected than you in your GP offices. So that's some wonderful news. And then this little one caught my eye. This headline caught my eye. Some professional radio speech for you. Don't clip that up for the voice reel. A man arrested over the felling of Sycamore Gap tree said... So this is, he wasn't actually the guilty party, but he was wrongly arrested. And his photo was circulated. He said he resorted to wearing a Rod Stewart wig to avoid being abused in public while under suspicion, which... Again, what a wild choice. That is up there with the Greg Willis underwear defence. Like, oh God, I don't want to be confused as one of the most reviled people in British society. Let me disguise myself as Rod Stewart. That's crazy. Even Rod Stewart disguises himself as Fred West going about so he doesn't get confused for Rod Stewart. So yeah, they what a weird... That really caught my eye. I thought that was very funny. And I must say, you know... As much as I'll make fun of Rod Stewart, Maggie May is a banger. It's a shame about his reform policies. Which is weird as well, because he wrote Sailing, which in many ways is the anthem for the Channel Crossings. But look, that's the news. There's no impending war as well. At the moment, that seems to have cooled down. I know I promised you I'd give you an update on global politics. I know that I'm the person you come to, obviously, for the state of nuclear war. At the moment, I think it's on pause. And let me bring in somebody who's going to bring some nuclear vibes to the... by which I mean explosive, rather than, you know, man, woman, two children, heteronormativity. Hello, James Trickey.
Hello. How's it going?
I'm good. Good, thank you. I mean, you are allowed to bring heteronormativity to the table if that's what you want.
It's not what I want to bring, but I think I do inherently bring it by virtue of being heteronormative, I suppose.
Yeah, well, are you sort of a traditional family morals kind of guy?
Family morals, yeah, well, I don't know. I've got a girlfriend.
Okay, yeah.
So that's the first step, I think.
Yeah, mark against you, yep.
Yeah, and then my mum is pressuring me to have kids. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I will have two. That's the normal model, right?
Yeah, two. The nuclear family is mum, dad, daughter, son, I guess, yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, well, I'm definitely not having any sons.
No. You got very feminine sperm?
I've read Oedipus, you know, I know what's happening. I am not bringing that into...
You're worried you're going to get cucked by your son?
Yeah, cucked and killed by my son.
Oh, yes, of course.
Cucked everyone... I could live with, I think, probably. Yeah. If it was just...
Well, you can't live with being killed. Nobody can, famously. Okay, interesting. So you've got an Oedipal fear, so you want a daughter.
What a hilarious way to introduce myself.
Yeah, it really is. What vibes you're bringing to the show already.
The nuclear thing, really, I was just like, what, am I threatening? Am I, like, giving people in their homes the impending doom?
Yeah.
Is that the vibe I bring?
No, I just think, like...
Yeah.
Whoa, radical. Here comes James Trickey.
I'm not sure if I pride myself in having, like, radical views. I think most of my... I think most of my views are very straightforward.
What's your most radical view?
My most radical view.
Yeah.
I have a pair of toe socks.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's really
bad.
And
I wholeheartedly believe in them and back them till the day I die. So each individual toe has its own little sleeve. Like gloves, but for your feet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
There are paedophiles out there who wouldn't want to associate with you for the reputational damage that you would cause them. That is...
Unfortunately, that's my most radical view. I'll wear those socks. I've got like three pairs.
Do you have quite normal feet? Because I'll be honest, I've got freaky feet.
Really?
Yeah, not that freaky. Well, actually, no.
What are we talking?
A group of children at a park once laughed at them out loud. there you go.
What? You just had them out and they walked past. They pointed at us and like, oh, freaky foot man.
Yeah. Oh, no. They were, but like, we were talking about. So I was there. I was paddling in the river.
Okay.
And my friend was saying that you've got weird feet.
Yeah.
Myself, obviously. And then as they said that, a couple of children looked over and laughed very, very, very audibly.
What's so freaky about the feet?
Well, basically, I've got... So, big toe, normal, all good.
Okay.
Then a bank of three that are not webbed, but are sort of, like, interconnected.
Okay.
And like then a little tiny toe that's, you know... The little toe. We've all got a little toe.
We've all got a little toe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine this, because the way I'm imagining it right now is, like, it's just like... I don't know how to describe it. Like a shape. It's a rectangle with a small banked like bit at the top.
But let me draw it for you. Hang on. And what I'm saying is, anyway, do you have fairly normal feet?
I think so. I would say I have fairly normal feet. I'm missing a big toenail currently.
What happened to your big toenail?
Just
I'm just handing over a pretty good...
That is horrific.
now. That's not even my actual foot. That's just a drawing
of it. Yeah, yeah. But I can imagine it. And if those were real toes, that would be disgusting.
They are real toes. They're like half a metre away
your
from you.
Your little toe is the same size as your second and third put together.
Okay, well, let's not focus on the size of the toes.
Right,
necessarily sort of artistic misrepresentation. I was mainly trying to show you the sort of bank of the three middle toes.
I get that. Have you ever looked at like the types of feet? I saw this thing on, you know, Facebook now is just some cesspit of like awfully generated content.
Yeah.
I saw this one, it was like types of feet, and they had like 16, no, maybe 12 types of feet.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it basically like just toe shape, and the toe shape dictates what kind of feet you have. And it's like, oh, Roman, like Greek or whatever. And I looked at the one that most closely resembled mine, and it was just Asian. The whole continent have my feet. That
the
was
whole
it.
All of Asia. That's yeah. And that's like 3 billion people.
That's a lot of people.
Wow. Even so, Eastern and sort of South.
Yeah.
All the same.
I suppose so.
Like that's
there
crazy.
Was no distinction between. It just said Asian.
Yeah.
So.
Or do you think you're a victim there of racist sort of foot phrenology, where that it's a very white centric view of feet, and they're like, "Nah, but Asian."
Anything that looks like that is Asian. Yeah, maybe. But it was so close to my feet that I think I have to believe it. Like,
yeah.
Suddenly, I'm totally like invested in the fact that there is a difference between Roman and Celtic feet, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder, let me see if I can get this up and we can determine what my feet are. How would you describe those feet? Other than horrific,
yeah,
thank you. That really came out of your mouth far too quickly.
How would I describe them? I would say,
reptilian? That is really harsh. Here we go. All right, Roman, Greek, German, Celtic, Egyptian. Oh, I don't even have Asian on this one. Is your feet any of these feet? Can you? Oh, there you go. That's exactly the image I've got. Thank you, Kieran.
I think yours look like the Celtic ones. If I'm not gonna German, maybe.
I think I would lean towards Celtic. We've traced my family lineage back on my mother's side, certainly, and we go all the way back to the Normans. We're proper thoroughbreds. Yeah.
Thoroughbreds. French.
Yeah, French. Why? It is. Yeah. Although the Normans, I always make this distinction. The Normans very historically we didn't want to be French.
Oh,
so
really?
The William the Conqueror, the French can't really claim that they successfully invaded the UK because William the Conqueror hated the French.
Wow.
Yeah. Completely separate sort of.
So he's like Cornish, would you say?
They were just Norman. They were just the Cornwall of France. That's a good description. I like
okay,
that.
Okay. And then they were successfully invaded and took over Britain.
Yeah, and then a thousand years later, I've got my feet. That's what's happened. Yeah,
is. It's so funny how history works, isn't it?
It really is. Yeah.
I really find it interesting.
What's your lineage? How do you?
Hell of a question. I've never done a 23andMe due to fear. I think.
Fear.
Yeah. My mum has sworn that if she ever finds like a trace of like Thai or Vietnamese in her blood, she's gonna kick off.
Interesting.
And maybe put me and her down in some sort of like murder suicide, because she has such a deep hatred. But so I've never done it. But my dad is pretty sure that we are just from like the southwest of England, and that's the best he's got.
Right.
So yeah, but he doesn't really go very far. And
has
I don't
he just
know.
Guessed, or has he done his research?
He's basing it on our surname, Tricky, because apparently you're from the southwest.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the places in Cornwall are like spelled like Triggy, like T-R-I-G-G.
Yeah, they got like Cornish. They're spelled like the Cornish.
So we're thinking that Tricky is some delineage of that. Is what we're thinking, that it's like it used to be T-R-I-G-G-E-Y or something. And that's where the name Tricky came from.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no proof.
But no, we're just guesstimating.
It's just a complete guess, yeah.
That's interesting.
Just like passed down in like family chats, I think.
Yeah.
I wish I knew. Maybe I should do one.
We can do one in the break. We've got 3 minutes. How quickly can you get a sputal of DNA to 23andMe?
Didn't they get done for like losing everyone's genetic data?
No, I think they purposely sold everyone's genetic data.
Because they're going under.
Yeah.
Right.
I think so maybe let's not.
Maybe let's not.
Give your.
You can do a guess. I can spit in your face and you can like. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's Devonshire, actually. You'll be surprised. Yeah. You can taste the difference.
Yeah.
yeah, because it was creamy first rather than Java.
Very
Come on, bit of fun,
really
bit of comedy.
Yeah.
I'm so glad this is an audio medium and only James saw me absolutely fumble my pen so embarrassingly there. I don't even know where this started. I've got weird feet. We've got away from the point here. Right, never mind. You should feel no shame if you have Thai or Vietnamese heritage, despite your mother's hatred, but you should feel the same for this fucking toe sock thing.
Fine. Well, that is again another Asian thing. I was in Japan and they were like really marketing them quite hard.
Yeah.
And so they were multicolored. Each toe is a different color. Can you believe that?
I can believe it.
The body of the foot is blue, and then like each toe is like red, yellow, green, pink, brown, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I know colours. Yeah, yeah. I'm familiar with the rainbow.
Joseph, is that you? I was like trying to. So I just thought I'd buy a pair. I bought one pair.
Yeah.
Tried them on. You've got to break them in because they're stiff, right? You've got to make them fit your toes.
And then I don't know if that's possible, but okay.
Yeah. And then I was free. Like, it was so
free.
It's like having regular. It's like having your toes out. Mm-hmm. Do you like being barefoot in the house?
Yeah, sometimes.
So it's like that, but you're warm.
Okay. And actually, you know what I don't like is the sole of my foot on, because we've got mostly hardwood. So
right. Oh, actually, all right. Sure. Yeah.
I think carpet is more, luxurious than hardwood.
Than hardwood?
Yeah, I think so.
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I think people are like, ooh, look at my oak floors.
You know? Oh, it's not oak. It is the cheap shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like now, like, having things exposed and, like, a bit rustic is now just, like, the upper echelon of homeware, you know?
Okay. So maybe that's what I'm doing with my feet. Rather than have your toe sock thing, I'm having them exposed.
You're having them rustic.
Rustic. Yeah. That's the equivalent of, like, a sort of a beam. A structural beam.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm more of a, just like a carpeted.
Yeah.
Carpet right guy.
The carpet pussy. Yeah. Well, because what you did to me, very, very, very subtle there. You said, oh, it's an Asian thing. To stop me, you think, oh, maybe he won't attack me if he thinks that he's being anti-Asian racist.
No, that's not
but
what I meant.
Joke's on
obviously
you.
Obviously, it is freaky.
It's freaky.
Yeah,
it's
really freaky. But look, don't try it. You've got to try it.
Okay.
I think you have to try it because it is a game changer. It does make you feel quite liberated somehow. And what can you say? It's like someone being like, oh, no, I know I don't like broccoli. It's like, you've never eaten broccoli. Try it, okay? Don't give me all of this. I know it looks weird.
What a wild reach. That is up there with Rod Stewart wig, Greg Wallace can't wear underwear because he's autistic. It's like broccoli. Why would you reach for that of all things?
I get really angry when people claim they don't like food when they've never tried it.
Okay.
But
why broccoli?
It's a classic food to not like. That or mushrooms, I feel like, is like one that you would reach for.
I will say I don't like mushrooms.
There we go.
But I have had good mushrooms.
Okay.
I think my problem with mushrooms is that they're very often badly done.
Ah.
Do you know, they're not like cooked properly or seasoned.
Yeah. So you don't like bad mushrooms.
Yeah.
You don't like bad food.
I don't like bad food. That's my radical take here on. Your most radical view is toe socks and mine is that I don't like bad food.
Yeah.
No, we're really sort of cutting edge here at Pulse of the Nation. This is uncensored, by the way. You can say fuck shit, piss cunt, whatever you want.
No, I did see you swear. I did hear you swear at the beginning. I was like, okay, that's good to know the rules.
Yeah. It's all good.
But if I don't feel the need, I won't, you know?
No, yes. You shouldn't be
don't
too
don't try and pressure me into
go on, say your favourite swear word.
Balls.
Oh, that is okay. We're going to have to cut the broadcast. we're going to just go to a break and I'll get a new co-host in. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you in about 3 minutes.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Well, welcome back to Pulse of the Nation with me, James Tricky, who was being very unkind about my feet earlier. Well, I thought it was harsh, and then I showed the drawing of my foot that I did for James to producer Kieran, and he said, it looks like a spork. So, you know, make of that what you will. I will say, though, before you side too harshly with Kieran, that he is anti-Irish immigration, and he doesn't believe in the Irish language. He thinks Conor McGregor should be Premier of Ireland. That's what he said in the past. So that's a sort of man you want to side with.
He said it in the interval. Like, I watched him say it.
Showed us his sort of like, you know, immigrants out tattoo.
Yeah.
It was bad.
On his cheek. Like,
Yeah. That was another weird thing.
As well. Yeah, we've just met.
And also, we found out he was autistic because he doesn't have any underwear on.
No underwear on.
Yeah, sadly. Yeah. So that's the sort of man you're aligning with there in bullying my feet. If you're comfortable with that, then...
Yeah, well, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Okay, he may be wrong about the immigrants and whatnot, but he's right about my spork-shaped feet. Okay, there we go. Right, James, we were, very heartbreakingly, for a short period of time, meant to be Edinburgh Fringe roommates.
Were we?
Yes. I was going to join you and Jesse in the house that sadly fell apart, yeah.
Are you coming up for the whole month?
No, I'm only there for 2 weeks. So I was going to fill the last 2 weeks.
God, I didn't realise that we'd actually secured you.
I'm so sorry. I feel like I shouldn't have said this.
That's even worse, like, because obviously we had the heartbreak of the flat falling through in the first place. I don't know how much you heard about the flat falling through and the excuse she used.
Yeah, what a load of... So if you don't know about the Edinburgh Fringe, World Speakers Arts Festival, just regularly, year on year, exploiting more and more people, more and more punters, especially performers. They're the people that, like, you know, quote-unquote, have to be there. there. So they just charge extortionate prices, put the accommodation up every year. And this is somebody that Jessie had been using for years.
I've cultivated a relationship with, right? So she's this landlady who has a lovely flat in Edinburgh, like right bang in the middle of it, between like Assembly Roxy and Pleasance Courtyard.
That is heart of the fringe, for those
that
don't know.
Really lovely spot. Doing a good deal on it. It's like a three bedroom thing. The third bedroom is the mezzanine layer of the living room.
Yeah.
So that bedroom is a single bed with no fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in it. I was in it three years ago. Have recently found out that everyone who's been in that bed has shagged in that bed. So we've all got that.
Oh, right.
So like me, Jesse, and I think whoever was in it before, we all share that in common, which is quite nice.
That's nice. That's good. The shagging bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you telling me that? Because I was going to be in that bed.
Exactly.
Are you going to say I could have got laid at the fringe?
You would have got laid.
Fuck's sake. This is heartbreaking.
But so she had to deal with this lady. And then in 2024, excuse me, 2024, it wasn't going to be Jesse Nixon, it was going to be Danny Johns, because Jesse wasn't going up. So Danny was going up. I was trying to get a whip up there. And Danny, we were dealing with her, and she basically pulled this excuse in about Feb. After we'd signed the contract and sent a deposit, being like, I'm so sorry, my son's going through a really bad breakup and he needs somewhere to live, so I'm not going to be able to rent your flat to you
well,
anymore.
Well, no, you have to understand, if he's going through a bad breakup, he needs to rebound. Where's he going to bang? The sex mezzanine.
In the sex bed.
The sex mezzanine, of
he
course.
He has his own bedroom in that flat. He's like, sorry, no, we're not doing it here. Up we go. I like to look at the sofa from above while I do this. She was like, sorry, I can't do it anymore. And then just sent us our deposits back.
Damn.
We already signed the thing. I mean, it worked.
It's so hard to find accommodations. But like, and if you're left high and dry in February, March, it's like, yeah, such a scramble.
I hadn't been able to find a venue anyway, so it actually worked out quite well for me.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I guess. But then the following year,
this year, 2025,
now,
the year of our Lord,
when Danny wasn't doing it anymore and it was back to Jesse again, she, in January, did the same thing and said, I'm so sorry, my son's been through a really bad breakup. He's going to need somewhere to live. And I think she did it because she didn't realize that Jesse and Danny knew each other.
So she did the same thing again?
Same thing again.
Oh, my God.
Her son just, like, because...
Her son's having terrible relationships.
But you're telling me he moved in with a girl within, like, broke up, had to be in the flat, found a new girl, got with them, 6 months later... Yeah. He's moving back home.
Yeah.
What is going on? What kind of man is this?
This guy needs... Either he needs relationship advice or you need some... I'm going to say it. Some lying lessons.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, can I get some air horns on the sound desk, actually? That would be useful for future. All I've got on my sound desk at the moment is this sound of me making a sex noise. Basil Brush.
Boom, boom.
Oh, I could have used that, actually.
Yeah.
And then I've got Bob Villain chanting Death to the IDF. editorially, I don't think I can use it in this context. Sorry. Either your son needs a relationship counsellor or you need some lying lessons.
Boom, boom.
Really come good. On, that's, lovely stuff.
That's great.
That is.
You need more sounds. Having a sound, unfortunately, with great power comes great responsibility, because I think I would be... absolutely abusing that sound desk.
Yeah.
If I had one.
Well, I've got... The thing is, I can access the sound desk of... I don't know if Kieran knows that I've figured this out. I can go to any other show on the station and get their sound desk.
Oh, my God.
So we've got That Money Show, The Politics Show, What the Health, any Couple Goals, any of these striking...
What the Health sounds like pretty good. I wonder what sounds What the Health need. I'm imagining, like, dentist suck tube, like... type thing.
Oh, That was one of your... That was good. That was like American talk show level. You know, like on Jimmy Kimmel or Colbert or whatever. They'd be like, so you were in Atlanta recently. And then the person will have like an amazingly crafted anecdote about Atlanta.
That
was American late night level... easing into your material.
Thank you very much.
Do it again let's give this the sort of space it deserves.
Yeah.
This is an amazing impression of the dentist sucky thing. There you are, this water flooding into your mouth.
You know what that sounds like.
Yeah, amazing. Really, really good.
I have retired that bit now, so it was good to get it out there.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, it's on record.
Exactly. Now it's proof. There's proof that I can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'll send you this as an audio file so you can have it forever.
Great. I'm going to make that a soundbite.
Can we get that on the soundboard? Let's just have everything on the soundboard, actually. That'd be really, really good. I'm having a look at the What the Health soundboard. Everything is pretty much like long interviews, like 18 minutes long.
As a sound?
Yeah, yeah. Because it feeds into the system in the same way, so you can trigger it from here and then fade it down. You've got like some control over the little glimpse behind the radio curtain.
The idea of like accidentally hitting an 18 minute interview instead of an air horn is insane.
Also, the idea
roasted. I'm here today. We're with the health secretary.
The fact that we have to just, the idea that we have to sit through that as well. Like, this is only a 55-minute show, and we lose 18 minutes.
We're locked in now. Unfortunately, we hit play. That's it. Like, everything's been overwritten.
I've got 3 10-second clips. Let's go for What the Health with GB Bumper Pro Tools.
What the Health with Georges Bertineau. Exclusively on FUBAR Radio.
Ooh, that's quite a sexy little.
Yeah, yeah,
mine's
yeah.
Not that sexy. Can I get the Pulse of the Nation one a bit sexier? Actually,
who did the Pulse of the Nation? Have you met the?
No, I never
person.
Have. So this is what I sound like at the moment.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, not very. I don't have a boner right now at all.
No, that's quite upbeat and family friendly, I would say.
Yeah, I think this is quite a sexually charged show.
I would say so.
Yeah,
the energy here has been like unrelenting.
The thing is, you can't see this, obviously, dear listener, but me and James have maintained eye contact for the full 28 minutes.
Yeah,
even during my monologue, just sat there in silence, just bump, 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 eye contact.
This table has no legs.
No, it's just standing on our. Erections.
Yes.
that's what's holding up this entire radio desk and all its equipment. So, yeah, if we could get that a bit sexier, just as a note, Kieran, just for down the line, that'd be great. Thank you. Your accommodation. The thing is, I always say, Kieran, can you prepare this? Can you prepare this Facebook thing? Can you, like, come up with some features for me? Because I'm like, I don't have anything and I'm worried I won't fill the hour. And we're half hour in. I've not even promoted your Fringe show yet.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, that's fine. Who cares?
Yeah.
I don't. You know,
when Ted Milligan came in with Basil Brush, actually, the aforementioned, he said the one thing he was like, can you please, the one thing I definitely want you to get in there is plugging United at the Fringe.
Yeah.
And it literally, like, I had 30 seconds left and he was like, oh, my Fringe show. And I was like, oh, fuck, sorry. Yes, go see it, Ted Milligan, United. The Pleasant City. He's at the Dome, I believe, this year, isn't he?
He's been upgraded.
Has he?
Out of the Dome to the Courtyard.
Oh, that's good. That's
he's
good stuff.
He's in Bunker 3. Oh, we're promoting his show.
Ted Milligan at Pleasant's Bunker 3 every night with United. And you can also go see me, Andrew White. I'll be there 28th of July to the 10th of August at Cabaret Voltaire, 8:35 every day with Young Gay and a Third Thing. Sadly, we have to go to the break, so we have no time for James, unfortunately. That is sad. But we'll be back afterwards, and maybe you can have some time then.
Yeah, I'll take whatever you got, man.
Yeah,
like, I'm just begging at your spork feet for like little... For a little bit of crumb,
okay, well
a crumb
done.
Of publicity, please.
Okay, you've lost your publicity now. The spork feet comment. No, look, let's do this before the break. I want people to, in the break, the 3-minute break, that's enough time to go to the Ed Fringe website, go find out what date works for you, and book a ticket to go see James Tricky, Don't Count On Me. Tell us about the show.
That's the name of the show. The show is primarily about making a decision, like risking what you consider to be the safe, sensible option of a financially stable life for something that you feel has been calling out to you, even if you know it's the most irrational thing in the world.
Yeah.
I would say that's the premise. Why am I like this? It's mostly my parents. That comes up a lot. And a disclaimer, you do not need to know anything about accountancy to enjoy the show. A lot of the PR has been really heavy on the fact that I am an accountant.
Yeah.
I am an accountant. They don't know I'm here. That's fine. but I do. There is no niche accounting knowledge you need. Anything you do need is provided in the show.
Okay, so, that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah.
And you are at the venue?
I'm at the Cellar in the Pleasance Courtyard at 9:15 every day, except for the 11th. Which is the middle Monday, whatever that is. And it's going to be a lovely time.
Great.
I'd love to have you along.
The courtyard's going to be pumping this year. That's so good.
I hope so.
You, Ted Milligan. You know what's really nice is I remember when we first started going to... When I first met you, like around 2018.
In the Fringe.
And on the Royal Mile.
On the Mile.
Yes, and we used to go have pints at the Bedlam because it was the cheapest place you could get a pint.
So cheap.
Blue Moon.
Yeah.
And it was just like we were sort of like on the fringes of the Fringe, you know. We're like new up and comers, and sort of you were in the Bristol Reunions at the time.
I was.
And it's like, oh wow, you go to the Courtyard, check out all these cool people debuting, and that. And now the Courtyard is all our friends. It's all our generation.
I know. It's a real like full circle moment. I was a bit teary eyed when the offer came through. I couldn't really believe it, but I am gassed and I can't wait. I'm hoping the show is going to live up to my expectations of it because like. I'm working on it, but I really want it to be good, and I'm really hoping it will be.
I think James is an excellent stand-up. I know he's been very dry and boring throughout this like last half hour, but he is very, very funny, and I must really defend him in that respect. No, you are a great stand-up, and you've been a great guest today as well.
Thank you.
What I will say,
what I will ask is, with accountancy, and I look...
no, go on, ask
this
away.
Isn't going to help your show selling necessarily, but just for my personal query, what are the new implications of the self-assessment changes? Do we have to do quarterly returns now? Is that upcoming next year?
That is completely brand new news to me. Are you kidding? There's been a change to...
Yeah, from April 2026. So obviously they've got rid of... You have to do digital filing.
Right.
But through a service provider, you can't do it direct with...
HMRC.
With HMRC.
You can't log into the portal anymore.
From 2026 next year, apparently.
Ah. Look, in the break, I will literally Google this and break it down. It's a really understandable layman's term.
There we go. Well, look, maybe because there is a finance show here as well. What's the name of the finance show? That money show. There we go. Got it. Here we go.
Making personal finance simpler with Gabriel Nussbaum. This is That Money Show.
Even that was sexier than mine.
It's the same actor as well. He's literally giving you less. Like, yeah, I feel like it's the same voice actor as who did your one.
Yeah. What's the name of the voice actor, Kieran? Do you know what his name is? No. Can you ask him what problem he's got with me? Can you say, like, what beef have you got with Andrew? Do you not find him sexy or something? Sadly, I'm going to have to send you into the break now with, apparently, I've discovered today, heartbreakingly, the least sexy ident possible. here we go. Thank you for listening. Join us in about 3 minutes' time and we'll get into the weeds of the new accountancy rules. It's going to be funnier than it sounds, I promise.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. I was just, in the last break, I was saying I should be more conscious of telling guests when we're coming back live on air. And then I have just absolutely forgotten that and completely blindsided you here. You were in the middle of telling me about how to do my tax return, which I'm very grateful for. And then I was like, we're on air now.
That's fine.
Yeah.
The end of the conversation was fairly dry. It's just about tax.
Yeah, it's all about tax. So if you are a sole trader with income over 50k from April next year, you will have to submit your tax returns and keep your books in a different way. Good news is there's not a lot of money in radio, so that won't affect me just yet. we're here with James Trickey, who is at the Edinburgh Fringe with Don't Count on Me, 9:15 every day except the 11th at Pleasance Courtyard in the Cellar. You can go follow James at James Trickey. _
Oh.
How much, and I always wonder this with people's usernames, how much does the _ pain you?
It is annoying.
Yeah.
I would say it's annoying.
Who is at James Tricky? Do you know who has it?
I haven't looked.
Oh, no? Do you want to look? Let's look.
Let's look now. Okay, so the only other, because I have Googled myself before.
Of course. I've got Google Alerts on for me. Yeah, let's not pretend that we're, not egotistical.
You've got Google Alerts on yourself?
Yeah, because basically, one... And it all started with the Fringe one year. All of a sudden, loads of people... Oh, actually, if you search at James Trickey, you are the thing that comes up. There's not another Instagram account that I can find. Basically, at the Fringe one year, loads of people started coming to my Fringe show in 2017 and being like, oh, yeah, we saw the review. And I'm like, the review? What the fuck is this? So I went and searched it, and then I'd seen I was in this like thing. Mm. I'm like, oh, that's really good to know. So there at the Fringe, I'm like, oh, well, I'm probably going to get, hundreds more press articles throughout this Fringe.
Yeah.
So I turn on this Google alert. I obviously got nothing. And I forget about it because I'm so rarely posted about that. Like once every 2 months or so, I'll get a Google alert. I'm like, oh, yes, God, I forgot I've set that up.
Does the Google alert tell you when a new article about you has been published?
Yeah. It scans the internet for your name, basically, and tells you when there's something. So a few times I've had it where, like, it's come up. I found at James Trickey. Oh, that's good.
I've just found him. 23 followers, only following 3 other accounts.
That is heartbreaking.
One of them being Jasmine Trickey, I'm assuming his mum.
Message Jasmine.
There's another Isaac Trickey as well, probably brother, maybe dad. Should I message his mum?
Message Jasmine and be like, get your son in order, get him to relinquish James Trickey to its rightful owner.
Yeah.
That is no post, 23 followers. That is bad. That's heartbreaking,
really,
James.
Tough.
I do apologise.
Well, I mean, it's not a very common name, so I guess he might have been like, oh, who cares? I'll just have it, set for safekeeping.
Yeah.
But the only other James Trickey I thought it could be, and this is a bit sad, but when I used to Google James Trickey, the only thing that top result was a Oxford or Cambridge student chorister who was killed.
Oh. That always react at the end of the sentence.
Killed in a traffic accident. He was cycling. I think he was hit by a drunk driver. Really sad. And now I am conscious of the fact that if I ever overtake him in the searches in Google, his family are going to be like, what the hell, man?
Surely you have already overtaken him.
Potentially, yeah.
Actually, annoyingly, the FUBAR system is on Bing, so we're going to... I know. So, let's see. James Tricky. You are the first thing that comes up. Your profile on the Stand Up Club.
I'm very... The Stand Up Club?
Yeah.
Shout out
Stand Up. We have to remember that, that all these central London clubs really put loads of money into SEO. So if you've got a profile on Top Secret, Stand Up Club, whatever, you're going to come up higher, and that's going to be sort of your representation.
I see.
Yeah, look, hey, look, pages and pages, all James Tricky comedy.
Wow.
Ain't a single chorister to be found. James Tricky, Pan-Euro Equity Sales, Bank of America.
Oh.
Are you in Pan-Euro Equity Sales, or is that a different James
Tricky? I don't know what Pan-Euro Equity Sales means.
Across Europe, sales of equity.
Pan. Across, not steel.
Not pan... Oh, of steel. Yeah, I was thinking my brain went pansexual.
And I was cooking.
Of course, because you're a nuclear heteronormative boy.
Yeah, exactly. As we established at the very beginning of the show.
Yes, indeed. So if you love nuclear heteronormative comedy, make sure you head to the Cellar at Pleasance Courtyard, 9:15 every day throughout the Fringe. And if you're in London and not going to the Fringe, you can catch James at the Museum of Comedy on the 23rd of July.
Well remembered.
Thank you very much. I wrote a little note for myself.
Yeah. Actually, I've just remembered one more thing I could promo.
I've gone.
Are you going to do it? Or was I, am I going to do it? If you don't like stand-up, but you do like me... and or the aforementioned Ted Milligan, we are doing a one-off of our sketch duo at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Award-winning!
Can you believe?
Sketch duo.
It's unbelievable, really.
Burger and a Pint.
Burger and a Pint, that's the name. Also a very good deal on Tuesdays, sometimes if you go to a certain pub that I live near. Burger and a Pint. Oh, God, what am I talking about?
Is that where the name came from?
No, I don't know where the name came from. Ted is just obsessed with beer, and I love to eat. So I think we were just like, one time we were in a pub, and we were like, oh, God, what are we going to call this? Because it kind of happened on a whim anyway.
Yeah.
We're just like...
So did you enter the... So the award you won was the Leicester Square sketch-off?
Yeah, that's it.
Did you enter that on a whim?
We entered that with the... Yes. Honestly,
we were like... Sketch comedy and character comedy is so fucking easy. I bet we could ace this thing. And then you did.
We had history, right? We met at the Bristol Review Unions, Bristol University's premier sketch comedy society. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so we had knowledge of what sketch comedy is and was. And then our first ever gig together was the first heat of the sketch off.
That's crazy.
Yeah, a bit fun. So we are doing a work in progress, our first ever like more than 20-minute set. At the Edinburgh Fringe on the 16th? 16th of
annoyingly,
August?
I won't let me open this Instagram page unless I sign
in. I'm pretty sure it's 16th of August at 4:30 in the Cellar, in the same room as me.
Oh, that's great.
And you can only buy tickets for that on the Pleasance website.
Oh, so it's not on edfringe.com.
Because we have not paid for our Edfringe registration.
Well, it's very expensive. This is the other thing, by the way. Sorry, not to turn this into a political rally against the Edinburgh Fringe, but as well as the fucking ridiculous accommodation costs, it costs like £400 to register your show into the booklet.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's so excessive. And they don't really offer that much in return for that money.
I think for the single performance, it was like £90. And it was like...
That's still ridiculous.
Can we rely on our friends to buy 9 tickets?
Well, you know, and the Pleasance take that money.
Exactly. They're taking their share of it as well. So we're just going through them. Save us a bit of money.
I've heard a story. Look, God bless the Pleasance. We work right next to the Pleasance. But the Edinburgh Fringe, and you'll go with the Pleasance. We don't hate the Pleasance.
No, I'm with them. I love them.
I can fade down your mic for this slander if you want. But I'll just say that I've heard tale of somebody doing a run with the Pleasance, and they were looked quite hot. And somebody said, oh, do you want a towel on stage? And they said, oh, yes, please. And at the end of the run, they got an invoice for 24 days of towel use.
Not even just for the towel?
No, it's daily use of the towel. That might be an exaggerated... Because there are stories of that, like, for using a certain mic stand or for using a certain TV.
Right.
But the towel one might be exaggerated. But that is... The thing is, it's believable.
Yeah.
And that's all you really need to...
That's the problem.
And this is a beautiful thing with rumour. I can disqualify it by being like, well, part of the problem is that it's believable. I don't even have to fact check that. The real problem there is that we believe it.
Is that we believe it? Yeah.
So yeah,
it's our minds. The real problem is society and our minds.
So it's very. So you know you'd lose a certain amount of money to VAT, to ticket levies, whatever. Mm. So to lose another £90 to registration, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's like really, if we can sell it through one, it's only going to be people who know us anyway, right? No one's going to be flicking through the app being like, oh, it's a one-off work in progress from two unknown sketch comedians. Yeah, I'll go see that.
Or do you think people will come thinking that they could get a burger and a pint? Because I've googled Pleasance burger and a pint and it says Edfringe 2024, what food can you get at the Pleasance?
Oh, that is an oversight, a big oversight.
Yeah, you didn't really think about that in terms of your Googleability.
Well, maybe people will think that it's £10 and they get to enjoy a burger and a pint with us. I will make it clear.
£10 is very good for a Fringe ticket at the Pleasance, by the way. That is, and because it's that's one of the premier venues at the Fringe. As much as I might deride it, they are providing good quality, and so for £10, pretty good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is going to be. As much as I want to promote it, it's going to be a work in progress. Mm-hmm. We have some of these sketches are going to be weird.
I've heard / read in the Instagram description of your post that there's a sketch from 2017.
Yeah.
Wow. Has it held up after 8 years?
Honestly, yes. And I think partially because the sketch is about 10 seconds long.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a really, like, really quick fire, sharp, like, really tight. This is like the dumbest joke I've ever written in my life.
That's exactly. Oh, God. How can you not go see that?
Yeah.
So if you're at the Fringe on the 16th of August, 4:15 at the Cellar, go see Burger and a Pint with James and Ted, previously of this parish, and indeed go see James's full show Don't Count On Me at 9:15 every day at the Cellar. I couldn't find the page and I was happy to remember.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you. And you were recently recommended in Rolling Stone, so
can you believe
that's pretty impressive.
Oh, I lost my head when that happened. I had no idea it was coming. And then very exciting, thank you so much. It was
James, fantastic stand-up, go check him out. Now James, this is a newsy show. You wouldn't believe it for all of the Spork Feet chat and and accountancy sort of what do we just get very lost in the accountancy stuff, didn't we? So we've got news to react to. How are you a newsy person? Are you good with the news?
No, in terms of like my daily upkeep, it's mostly just like puzzles on chess.com and like the connections.
Oh, do you know what's really funny? The thing I rejected. So basically, I did my little monologue at the start and I got flicked to the news. Well, here's one thing I rejected. Which is the new Harry Potter was revealed. They took a picture of the new Harry Potter from the HBO series.
Of a kid.
In the article from the Metro, it says, one fan commented, "Looks like he's ready for magic school." And I thought, fuck. Like, first of all, what a lame, like, non-story.
So lame.
But second of all, like, who editorially decides what comments to randomly take out as a quote?
Yeah.
Because he very easily could have said, one fan commented, "What a specky cunt."
Yeah.
You know, like, why are we, like, giving any credence to what people comment on online? I'm a very strong advocate for people should have less platforms for all their opinions.
Also, this is under the headline in the corner is guilty pleasures.
That is very unfortunate.
Makes it feel like this child
is a guilty pleasure.
Which is insane.
That is mad. That page normally is like arts and culture. So there was also like stuff about Billie Eilish and stuff.
Right.
But it does look really bad out of context. This corner I've ripped just to have guilty pleasures and then a picture of a little boy.
With a film clapper.
With a film. Oh, no! Oh, James. Oh, that's horrible. That's not good. Okay, let's move on from that. So you're okay with the news.
I'm a little bit dialed in, but not really.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. I think that's the good place to be. Sort of just at an arm's length.
Yeah.
Don't worry, it's not going to be like big headlines. I'm not going to like kind of quiz you on how do we solve.
Oh, it's a quiz?
No, well, so there's several options. We've run out of time, actually, to do everything that Kieran has very lovely prepared for me.
So sorry.
It is your fault for bullying my feet for so long. So what we can do is we can either do our headlines quiz, where I get you to fill in the blanks from a missing word from a headline, or we can discuss one of these three topics that we've been sent by PR, which is about Barack Obama, celebrity culture, and swingers in a rural village.
Oh!
So would you like to do the headline quiz, or would you like to discuss one of these topics?
Unfortunately, I'm a fiend for a quiz, so yeah. I'd love to do the headline quiz.
We should do a quiz together. Let's find one at the Fringe. We should just hang out at the Fringe as well.
We should maybe
just
like hang out,
because I've explicitly said that.
Yeah, I don't know if the listeners know, but we are friends.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
that's great.
Have you made that clear? We're friends.
Yeah, no, sorry, I didn't realise that's a new label for me.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, so sorry.
It's fine.
Were you still on acquaintances?
No. I for me, I've just been downgraded.
Where were you? Where did you think you were?
Friends of Benefits.
Oh.
Wow, I thought we were fuck buddies.
Yeah.
That's.
I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
So sorry. There's just so many.
Oh, that's really awkward. Okay. Well, here with my friend James Tricky. We're going to do a quiz now. do you know what? I was going to be like, Let's not say what the joke I would have said. Not that it's inappropriate, but it's like, that's such bad form to be like, here's the funniest thing I would have said if I was quick enough. So let's just, that's the joke I said, and so let's stick with it. Right, here's your first headline.
Okay.
See if you can fill in the blank from this headline. Mm-hmm. Hairdressers and barbers will be trained to talk about blank with customers.
Oh.
Hairdressers and barbers will be trained to talk about blank with customers.
Well, I think I know what the answer is.
Yeah.
Which is probably mental health.
No.
Really?
Climate.
Oh, what the fuck?
A brush with climate is inspired by a movement that started in Sydney when a salon owner looked to use their renowned conversational skills to get chats going about solutions to the climate crisis. I will say salons... yes, renowned conversational skills. Barbershops, no.
No, no.
That is an emotionless, stoic,
yeah,
Turkish, Kurdistani man who, if anything, is on loudspeaker, you know, speaking to one of his relatives. And you're just sort of there being like, okay, I'm fine with this. I don't think that's who I want talking to me about the climate.
The climate?
Yeah.
Why do I need to be talked about the climate from... why are they being trained to talk about the climate?
Yeah, that is, I guess, are they given, like, conversation topics? Like, so here's some things you can bring up in during the haircut.
As if we're going
to try and... did you know that air conditioning contributes to 10% of our energy emissions?
How can we convince the people to recycle more? Let's just invade them through their barbers. Like, that's insane. Why would you, that can't be the route in.
That, yeah. Four towns in Ireland are to be chosen. Oh, that's where you're from, Kieran. Four towns in Ireland. God, Christ alive. I don't know what's this heat has melted my brain or what's happened. Kieran's from Ireland. And yeah, four towns in Ireland are under the pilot with local hairdressers and barbers invited to be involved.
God. The idea of, instead of having like, oh, how's your week been, mate? And being like, oh, have you seen about the melting ice caps? Like, I want to get my hair cut. Oh, just shut up and give me a skin fade. Like, I don't care.
Are you a skin fade kind of guy?
No, I'm not. But it's the funniest haircut I might
have. I've recently pumped, as you... I don't know if you... yeah, you can see.
I can see.
Yeah. I think I want to go a bit tighter, but what do you think of it?
I think it looks good.
Thank you.
I think with the facial hair as well, it looks really strong.
Yeah, that's... and then normally I'll have some big earrings as well. So it's all
very powerful image.
Thank you. No, I don't think you've, like, changed in the last... like 7-8 years I've known you.
Yeah, that I am a culprit of that. I've got a different pair of glasses probably and I've maybe put on a little bit of weight in my face, but on the whole I look almost identical.
Yeah I've only just clocked it. Yeah, you're the one consistent person in my life.
Yeah, well, what can I say, consistency is key.
Yeah,
that's where I live.
You live in consistency.
Yeah.
Nice.
Bedtime 11:30.
Oh, interesting.
Well, because I have a job.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get into the office.
Are you not meant to be at your job now?
Yeah, well, they don't know about that. I picked this as my one work from home day. Well, one of my two work from home days a week.
Oh, that's good. You get two work from home days.
Well, okay. I've been very productive today.
Yeah?
Been down to the dump.
Do you drive?
Yeah, I drive.
Oh, okay.
My car's having an MOT right now. That's the other thing I've been.
Oh, my God. You really are having a productive day.
Yeah, I'm very productive. Just not...
not with work. It feels like you've absolutely done zero work today. You've gone to the... dropped your car off an MOT. You've gone to the dump. You've come down this radio show.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, by the way. It's lovely to have you.
Oh, I'm really lovely to be here.
Tell me about your dump experience. Is this sort of... have you been going to the dump for a few years? Or is this an early sort of like transition into manhood?
Exactly that. Yeah.
Transition
my first ever time at the dump. Well, my first ever time solo at the dump. I have been with my dad before.
Yeah.
From my parents' house, because he needs help, you know, lifting tables or whatever to throw into the dump. Yeah. He's old.
Yep. Back in the Neanderthal times, you know, father would take his child out hunting, gathering.
Yeah.
28 years later, go and shoot some zombies. Modern Britain, the dump.
In the dump.
That is the sort of paternal passing on that we do culturally.
Hey, son, can you figure out which bin this goes into? You know, you get to choose.
And you love a quiz.
I love a quiz.
So, first solo dump.
First solo dump, you get in. Oh, it smells. But that makes sense because it's a dump. And then, like, you park your car.
You walk in and go, God, it's like a dump in here.
Boom, boom.
Come on, bit of fun. Anyway. Sorry, we're hurtling towards the end. We've got 40 seconds, so 10 second summary of your dump experience.
Really fun, bit smelly. Love how they're all labelled. They let me straight in. They didn't even check my licence plate. So
that's
if you do want to go to the dump and you're not a resident of Islington Council, just go.
That's good. Just go. Just go to the dump. What did you dump?
I dumped a kitchen unit that I no longer need.
There you go. Look at this. This man is so good at comedy. He's doing so well that he doesn't even need a kitchen unit. That's how funny and successful James Tricky is. Make sure you go see him at the Pleasance and indeed his sketch group Burger and a Pint. You can follow him at @JamesTricky_. Please send hate mail to the other @JamesTricky. I'm @StandUpAndrew. Tune in every week. FUBAR Radio for all your radio needs. Thank you very much.
FUBAR Radio.